there, grinders, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences that we've learned along the way. My name is Sean, and I am your host this week. But joining me are my fellow gang members, hailing from ye old Shiphead District, is Kyle. What's going on, man?
Hey, this is where I get to remind you that you didn't create an alternate scoring system for Brian and the Patreon like you said you would, and I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Here's the thing. He literally isn't on, so yeah. I didn't need a scoring system since he can't
score. Was that for the next Patreon?
Yeah, so next week's Patreon, Brian's going to be reviewing this movie.
I got it. I fucked it all up.
I wanted him to have to watch this anyways. So
it was like I'm going to hold him accountable
for a score. So, yeah. Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Kyle. and with Kyle parkouring across the stage, it's Ryan. Oh, Ryan, stop. You're going to explode. Hey, Ryan.
Boom. Hi, it's lovely to be here. Crazy power play by Kyle to drop that in immediately. And also, I am Jeff Goldblum.
That was roughly 70% less Obama than it needed to be.
Oh, fuck, man.
You need to crank that up. I really hope that I remember to leave that full, 5 minutes of you guys just going, I'm Jeff Goldblum, over and over again at the end of this Friday's Patreon.
I hope so, man. That was ridiculous. To me, it was the funniest thing we've done in years.
Oh my god, your memory cannot be good.
That is terrible. Man, if your memory about that's anything like your memory of your times tables, then we are, man, I'm sure we're hilarious. Boys, thank you so much for watching this movie. That was a terrible segue. Guys, we're talking about Toxic Avenger this week, the 2023, if that's the actual year. Who knows when this movie actually got made? You know, it got made once and then it came out later. You know, it's kind of like that War of the Worlds movie that came out recently that got shot sometime. You know what I'm saying? This Toxic Avenger movie had quite a turbulent behind the scenes thing that went on, but I'm glad that it finally hit the theaters at some point. And I've got to ask you guys, was this your first time seeing this, or had you seen it before? Did you see it in theaters? Did you stream it? What's the deal here?
No, I had not seen this one before. I wanted to, and I had planned to get around to it, but it was not in a super big rush, mostly because of all the production stuff that surrounded it. Mostly, I don't know. I'm interested to talk about that more as we get deeper into the movie. But no, this was my first time seeing this, so thanks for the excuse.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's what I love bringing to this, is like making other people watch things that I enjoyed, or making them watch things that I find are entertaining, unlike some other people. Right.
For the record, I do love the Toxic Avenger. I have seen every other Toxic Avenger movie and almost every trauma movie ever made. So
I'm glad that was brought up. I am not a trauma fan. I can count on one hand that has been severed in half the amount of trauma movies I enjoy. I feel that's appropriate for trauma. They would like that. I don't really dig them. I think there are moments of goodness in each one, but for a whole runtime, I typically don't like them. So I wasn't super excited about this, though I thought the trailer, when it was released, showed a little promise. So I was interested. I did not catch it in the theater, sadly. I don't know that it even played near me. But I did catch it on Hulu about a month ago. Which was just long enough to forget a lot about it, so I needed to catch up anyway. And it turns out, I think I softened up a bit in my rewatch, which I would enjoy and to talk about more. And I actually am very curious about the production issues behind the scenes, because I knew nothing about this.
Okay.
Yeah. My understanding is that was just an absolute, you know, like a distribution nightmare. It was a funding nightmare. It ended up being self-funded, didn't it, Kyle?
I know, like, it was a lot of self-funding, and I think Troma did do some. I know the big issue, from what I understood, was finding a distributor, like, because you said, Sean, it got made, like, I remember this got made, announced, people were talking about it, like, 3 years ago, and then nothing. It's a lot like the Kung Fury sequel, like,
yeah,
there's a bunch of buzz, a bunch of hype, and then literally nothing has happened. And I had always heard that, and this is what I was going to bring up, that it was like because, oh, the movie was too offensive, nobody wanted to put it out and everything. And you watch it, man, and it was, I mean, it's pretty tame, to be honest. It's a R, and not even that hard of an R, to be honest with you. So I found that a little hard to believe that that was the issue, because even for something like associated with Troma, like, come on.
Yeah.
Unless you think they cut it after, like, all of these issues with distribution, what you're seeing is, like, a butchered cut, like, that took it's out possible, all of the NC-17 stuff?
But I doubt it.
What I saw, too, is that they were trying to push for this to be a PG-13 at one point, which is also, like, come on. Yeah, so yeah, I don't think
softening
was the issue.
I think when you go so over the top, when it's, like, yeah, it's R, but it's not hard R, because once you're so over the top, it's almost comical, and it's no longer veering towards that hard R-iness, and you could almost take this in some ways down to like a PG-13 if you go even more comically with it and just kind of make it more humorous, take the boobs out, take the, you know, or take some of the cursing.
There was only, it was so quick, there is totally a boob shot, but I feel it's...
There's a couple, yeah.
Even more so for just the violence, and even that, like...
It's so, I mean, compared to, like, actual silly, trauma.
Yeah.
And done in a way that looks schlocky, that, like, it's definitely not the hardest stuff I've seen. And as you said, yeah, like, even the Toxic Avenger compared to this is, like... That's an offensive movie.
Crush the dude's,
yeah,
the head in the fucking weight machine. That's brutal.
Oh, that too.
Yeah, and the weights. Yeah, the weights, the wheels, the kid on the tricycle or bicycle or whatever that they back up intentionally and then take pictures of it.
That was gnarlier than anything in this movie.
Exactly.
Which
it's much more mean spirited too. Whereas this has like almost a whimsical feel to it, Marvel style.
It's got a lot
almost
of the heart. Yep. I noticed. Yeah,
So
they softened
I remember
a lot
this
of the harshness.
In 2023, like Kyle said, like 3 years ago, like it was being talked about a lot. That's when the first glimpses Peter Dinklage is attached. It's being shown at like film festivals, but that's all you heard for like another 2 years was film festival, and it's like, man, can you get out of that? Like, can you get picked up to go somewhere? And so, yeah, I think this ended up hopping into theaters, at least one near me, August of last year, 2025. We had to drive like 40, 45 minutes, but we have to do that anyways to see anything that's outside of like the big three movies at the time. To go to one that has like more of a selection. Love our theater, but they show like, I don't know, whatever superhero movie is, whatever cartoon movie there is, and then whatever other big thing there is. It's crazy.
We have the same, anyways. But the third one's a religious movie.
Dang.
Right now they've got that. Go. I can only imagine playing.
Oh, God.
It's crazy.
God, indeed. Well,
is that next week?
I'm going to break this down for you listeners really quick. One, this is streaming on Hulu, as Ryan said previously. I was honestly super hyped to see it pop up on Hulu a couple of weeks ago when I went out. I was like, oh, shit. I think that's what actually reminded me to do this as a pick and make people watch it. But in 2023/25's The Toxic Avenger, Peter Dinklage stars as Winston, a struggling janitor in stunning community of St. Roma's Village. Struggling to raise his late wife's son, Wade, all while working for a corrupt health and pharma company called BTH. Winston's life is already collapsing. Money, grief, health. When BTH's world continues to get uglier. An employee leaks incriminating info, and BTH's juggalo, I mean problem solvers, the killer nuts, start hunting to keep the scandal buried. Having been denied coverage for his brain thingy by his own work, Winston begs his boss Bob, played by the delightfully awful Kevin Bacon, to help him. Tricked and locked outside, Winston breaks into his work and steals him some money. Hotline Miami attacks him, mistaking him for JJ, the aforementioned employee, and leaves Winston dumped in toxic waste. He mutates into the grotesque superhuman Toxie, armed with the most iconic weapon possible, a radioactive mop. Now he's stuck between surviving as a public monster, protecting Wade, and tearing into the system that created him, especially BTH's leadership, including corporate overlord Bob Garbinger and the bizarre Garbinger family machinery around him. The movie escalates into a full-on war with BTH and the Juggalos as Winston tries to rescue his kidnapped son, keep Bob from and his wife from being an absolute monster as well, and expose what the company's been doing to the town. You guys might think that we're going to get into story here and break down story. Actually, I leave it to you. I leave it to the two of you. Leave it to the two of you. Do you guys want to do the classic movie breakdown, or do you boys want to do action movie breakdown?
I honestly have no preference one way or the other. I'm prepared to go. I don't know that putting this into the action movie category is going to do many favors for this movie.
I disagree. But
interesting. Okay.
Telling me action quality isn't up there, body count isn't up there, setting and theme. Muscles, do you see the forearms on that bitch? Quips were pretty good.
Okay.
Antagonist gets at least a 3.
I say the old.
Okay. But got it. No, you got it.
It's a good argument. Yeah. You're making a good argument.
I only thought to go with that style, with that one, because I was like, you know what? This actually would kick ass on the rating scale. Hot second, because I do need to copy and paste really quickly a 3-person rating system into our file, because I was not prepared.
No worries.
It's 3-person rating system.
We are good. We are going to start with our fun system. We are going to be rating this out of... Man, what do we rate this out of if there's only 3? No, I see 4 is the highest one here. Okay. On the most recent one that we did with 3 people.
I think what I've done in the past is the 4th person is just an average of the 3 of us.
Would somebody, when we did Showgirls, would somebody have given 5 a style of 5? A bonus point?
Did you give
a bonus point there? Okay.
Possibly.
Cool.
I don't know. It might have been Kyle. We both really liked the style of the movie, I think.
Really did.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, while I get this set up, who would like to lead story? I asked that out loud, but instead I'm going to give it to Ryan. Ryan, lead off
boy.
On story.
All right. So this is a remake, and already there are... gonna be comparisons to the previous one, and it's weird. The one thing I did hear about this, because Sean mentioned in 2025 is when he caught it in theaters, and I think that's when it was widely released to a lot of people, but in 2023 it was released in a bunch of festivals, and one of those was Fantastic Fest, which does like a bunch of like horror and weirder fucking movies. perfect for this. And they had people walk out, apparently. It was so offensive and bad. And I just don't see that here. What I see...
Fucking weak.
Almost all across the board is, like, a reining in every sensibility. And I think that's in terms of story, too. Like, they really go out of the way to make Peter Dinklage, like, a very relatable character. To, give him this relationship with his stepson, who is now, like, essentially his son because there's nobody else in the stepson's life, at the start of the movie. And it's all, it's interesting. I'm just, really kind of talking my way around saying, like, it has adapted a pretty generic formula that I think is accessible and adaptable to, like, pretty much all audiences. And I think, as I talked about, like, them kind of rounding off some of the trauma corners, they do that in the story. And the story, not that the original was anything, like, really crazy with the story either. It was maybe more chaotic and anarchic than this one. Though there are moments, but, like, this one has, I don't know. All right. Ah, God damn it. I'm going to say we're doing this out of 5.
Yep.
I'm going to give it a 3. It is on the positive side. It's closer to the middle because the story is just kind of serviceable. It's not the thing you go to for any trauma movie, really. But I do think they do some interesting things. And what I really think, like, Elijah Wood, what he's doing here is very interesting. His story and, like, that kind of Garbinger family dynamic is very interesting. Again, a little generic, and, like, I've seen it many times. Like, it's essentially Succession, but, like, it's fucking Scary Movie too.
Grab my small hand. Grab my small hand.
Oh, you're just saying, like, Chris Elliott. What he's,
yeah.
Or he's, like, Danny DeVito's Penguin, I thought, from Batman Returns. He's
that, got too. It's like a marriage of the two. It's that greasy, stringy hair.
And he eats it up. I love that Elijah Wood and Kevin Bacon came here to eat. I think Peter, whatever, I'm getting out of the weeds. I'm out of my lane here. Story's
out of your
fine.
Element, Donnie.
It's ultimately fine, but it's good. I think it works here. It's serviceable. It's accessible. It works on a 4-quadrant scale, but it's really nothing special story. There aren't, like, any real big twists or surprises or any, like, interesting ways they tell the story, but, like, cutting it up, reporting it in, like, different orders or anything. It's all just straightforward and generic. So, like, 3, and that's a positive 3, but it's a 3.
Right.
Woo! Sean, what do you think?
Man, I won't tap dance around it as much as you did. I think you pretty much you may be generous, and you may be being generous, honestly, if I were to be honest about the story, but also in story is the writing, and I think the writing and the script in this really does shine in a lot of spots. It's one of those, like, it's not even a it's so bad it's good kind of thing, because I don't think it ever gets into, like, a bad territory at all, but, like, I feel like it could be taking that way. And, like, the dialogue throughout this movie, it, like, I adored the writing in this, as, like, kind of not great as it could be in I'm dancing around this, but you're right. This isn't the part, like, the story itself isn't what shines in these. It's a driving force for everything else that's going on. And at that, it is very serviceable. And I think that the script itself lifts it to a 3 itself. So, Kyle.
I want to disagree.
Do it.
In what way?
I mean,
we're in either way. Go up or down.
Yeah, I mean, I want to disagree in the bad way, because, I mean, it is, but it's a perfectly fine and serviceable story that does still some slightly interesting things. Like, I mean, it is, I guess, predictable, but I like when he shows up for the first time as the Toxic Avenger, as a creep look in the window, and he goes, "Hey, buddy," and he throws the fucking thing at him, which makes him fall on the car. Pretty good stuff. I mean, we'll get into the other bits of it, but over, like, I don't know. But it's weird because I want to also be, like, against a fucking trauma story. And on that, it's so toothless. And, like, it is almost... It's like when Norm MacDonald roasted Bob Saget and just did all the clean bit stuff, you know? Like, it's sanitized in that way, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I almost want to knock it for that, but I can't really. But it's just crazy to me that people left this for being offensive.
Yeah.
Like,
this is...
I can't think of a single, like, a single part. Maybe when he, like, jams his arm up and rips somebody's intestines out of his butt. But, the, like, for every only one of those...
even remotely, like, offensive line-pushing thing was the Miss Meat stuff was... But, I mean, it's a fucking trauma movie. It's supposed to be, like, crass and tasteless. And that is the... That was some of the funnier stuff That's to me because joke. It was just... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly! Like, it is... It's fucking dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the aesthetic of the employee. I don't know. Let's get into style. 3, but I'm not happy about it. Let me say that.
You're not happy about it. 3, but I'm not going to smile.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this. Next up is going to be characters. And Ryan, you had to stop yourself from really branching off into the characters here. So I want you to just kind of go on with that. You got protagonist, man. Antagonist, the casting, all that good jazz.
This is another one I feel like I'm going to have to tap dance around my words because I don't really know where I'm fully at because I think some characters work really well and some just do not. I get Jacob Tremblay as like the stepson's inclusion and like this whole giving the character heart. I think you could do that without a fucking kid. In this movie, you could have just man being fucked over by, like, big business or big health or whatever. Like, that alone is enough of a drive and an arc. Or just stick with
his classic blind girlfriend.
It's true. I mean, that's really, you don't need much. And maybe that's in the sequel that it can come. But I thought Jacob Tremblay's character was just a complete nothing burger. I didn't really think their arc felt real. None of it. The very first scene where, like, he saves, what is it, the dog in the middle of the street? Or the baby?
Cat.
It's cat. I was like, what was it?
You tap dance around that one, dog.
Dude, my brain is cats.
What's 8 times 8?
64, dog.
19.
Nintendo 64. he saves the cat, but then, like, doesn't do everything correctly. And, I keep saying Jacob Tremblay. Was it Wade. JJ? Who is Wade? Wade. Wade just calls him out. And he's like, why didn't you do anything? It's like, what? Like, are you fucking kidding? Like, this is silly. A lot of this is fucking silly. And as Kyle said, this is also born from trauma. And so, like, as a trauma, I can't be too hard on it. But, like, the characters are... silly and slapstick in a way like sometimes I don't fully appreciate. That said, I really love how certain characters lean into the performances. I mentioned this. Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood are the MVPs here. I think Peter Dinklage does very, very good. He is very earnest. I think he's maybe too earnest for a trauma movie. And I think what needs to be ramped up all around it, because like, as I said, I don't think this is nearly violent enough. I don't know that Peter Dinklage could keep up with, like, a really ramped up, chaotic, like, maybe almost, like, kitschy, cheesy, campy vibe. He's very earnest. And so, like, this movie kind of toes that line and plays it straight, but I think it holds it back in a way that, like, I want to see everybody reach Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood's level here.
Have you seen Tiptoes?
I have. I kind of like Tiptoes.
I know.
I kind of like Tiptoes. So I think I'm another long-winded way of saying I think I'm at a 3 here. I think everything works, but kind of just enough. Nothing. Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood do a lot of heavy lifting. I think Peter Dinklage is towing the line, and a lot of other people are kind of forgettable. And sadly, that includes... Taylor Page. I love Taylor Page. I loved her in Zola. She was really good in the Welcome to Derry series just recently. She's kind of a nothing role here too. They do nothing with her character, and it's just kind of a bummer. So yeah, I think three is, again, being generous, but I feel on the generous side. Mm-hmm. With that, I think I gave it to Sean last time, so I'm going to throw it to Kyle this time.
What was I going to say?
I gave it to you, so you could
say it. I disagree with you, but I agree with you. For me, I really thought that Dinklage was the best part, and I was a little upset that really he's only in half the movie. He does not play the transformed Toxie, which is also standard. Melvin didn't play the transformed Toxic Avenger in those movies. He was he did voice it though. but I mean, there's also a big difference in going from the guy that played Melvin in the 80s Toxic Avenger also being played by like a giant dude in prosthetics to Peter Dinklage and a giant dude in prosthetics. Because, like you said, Peter Dinklage can actually act. you actually do feel for this character. Like, you're sort of empathized with him. Whereas in the original, like, Melvin's just a fucking dork-ass janitor that everybody makes fun of because everybody in Tromaville is actually very mean. Like I said, it's just, it's weird to see nice characters, because Toxie is nice, but that's because Melvin's a dork. I do like the niceness here. I really do like Elijah Wood. He is absolutely having a blast with it. And to be honest with you, I like the whole fucking band, the whole ICP new metal aesthetic thing. Hilarious. Fucking love it. That guy with the face paint, I love how they hit all different aspects. They're also like famous serial killers. The one dude's the Zodiac. I think the other guy's supposed to be like a Richie Ramirez type. It's really good stuff. Really, really nice commitments to the bit. I really liked how it did have a lot of the feel and aesthetic of a trauma film, just with like a buffed up, like they really polished the turd here. That is the nice way to say it, because I love at the new metal concert, you can tell it's still just like maybe 30 people just spread out very well to make it look like the festival that they booked. Again, just the characters for the most part, trying not to compare them to the straight up trauma, because like Kevin Bacon as a trauma villain, so sanitized, man. Like when he went to the monster, like I was really shocked to not see like a big like floppy dick or just
that's the fair.
Again,
maybe just, that's what they cut so they could get a theatrical release, you know, just know, a big man. Old floppy bacon
I
dick.
Would really like to know if anything what the made third people so offended brother. They left. I want to see. It's a trauma movie. Overall, I'm at a 2, I think, fellas, to be honest.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah.
I will say I'm not at a 2, and man, I do want to touch upon something that you said when we get to style, but there's so much that I agree with both of you here. You have Elijah and Kevin Bacon, I thought were just fucking eating everything up. And like Ryan, what you said with Peter Dinklage like being earnest, I don't think he stood a chance there. Like, he's legit, he's the straight man in this movie somehow. Like, against all odds, he's like the straight man to like everybody else's character, which is so fucking crazy. I think Wade is just so dislikable, probably intentionally, but even then I don't know. Kidnap the kid. I don't care. Turn him into a grilled cheese. Like,
oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah. JJ, you mentioned JJ. Man, I knew I recognized her, and it was as Charlotte from Welcome to Derry. Mm-hmm. She was fucking great in this. She had some great lines too. And I think a lot of the dialogue really helped me like the characters more than I should have. Because like everybody really made me laugh. Just I have such a stupid sense of humor. Oh, I had a sister who died too. Oh, cancer? No, Zamboni, terrible skater. This is like, it's so fucking stupid, but it makes me laugh.
That was the most trauma part of this whole movie. Mm-hmm. That whole bit. So... And then they didn't do it ever again.
Mm-hmm. Man. When I think about characters, so much of it is like the dialogue that stands out. Like, love Toxie here. And I immediately think, oh, I gotta get my dick out. And he just starts pissing on his face. Like, oh, it's so silly and over the top. And I fucking love it. But yeah.
Also, that part was great.
I don't think it was a knock out of the park thing, but I'm still gonna go 4. Because the only character that I didn't like was Wade, because I hate little whiny bitches. And he's a little whiny bitch. So taking away a point for that. And I'm gonna move into style, and I'm just gonna pick it right up from what Kyle had said. Is that this is as polished of a trauma turd as you can see. I thought it was... Oh, man. Actually, back in characters, every member of that gang was fucking fantastic. And I had a big-ass stupid smile on my face every time they're on the screen, like, just ransacking a house for fun. For no reason. Just for fun. It was great. It was fantastic. It was like playing a 1992 Nintendo game. Being like, why is that game doing that? Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't matter. But this also makes me think of like when I was a kid in 1992 when I was playing a Nintendo game and my brain was filling in all of the gaps of what the screen couldn't show me. And it was making me get vibes of this is just some fantastical world. I love the setting. I love the theme. I love this over-the-top dystopian ness to it. I don't really like dystopian post-apocalyptic stuff, but give me this all the time with like toxic sludge everywhere and things with four eyes, fucking The Simpsons, nuclear power plant, fucking ponds and whatnot. I think that everything going on in terms of the CGI gets pretty fucking hairy here. Gets pretty hairy in some scenes, and even then it lends to the charm of the nonsense that I'm watching. And so I'm still, I think music really in any regard could have helped this. So I can't go a full 5 here. I'm going to go a 4. And I'll kick it to Ryan.
Dang, I was really hoping to hear from Kyle first. Because
I'll kick it to Kyle.
Yay!
It is its own thing. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Sarah is way more versed in all of the trauma stuff than I am.
Mm.
And yeah, she was all on board with it. Like, she wanted to go see this. So I do not have the background that you do. Just saying.
Like... I really liked the design of Toxie. I thought that was cool. I like the way that like they modified it to work with Dinklage's character. Although I thought, until I saw this movie, I knew that he didn't play the character. I thought that they still had like a gigantic dude played the transformed Toxie.
Dude, I, until you said that, didn't realize that it was a woman who played Toxie. I thought it was Dinklage in prosthetics.
I didn't know
it was a woman. I'm an idiot.
But I know it was it's a stunt performer. Yeah, it's definitely, Dinklage did not do it. It was somebody else.
Louisa Zoe Bell? Guerrero. Oh,
damn.
Oh, Louisa Guerrero. But,
very cool.
You can also see, like, it was funny because I called it when I saw that he was wearing, like, his studded bracelet and sweatband. I was like, oh, that's so it's easy to do the prosthetics later when he transforms. And yeah, that's why he's wearing them later. But again, I really like that they went to that level with those prosthetics and just wished that, Despite, I don't know how doing spending money on CG is cheaper than doing practical effects anymore, especially on something like this. The history of trauma. It's like when they did the Thing sequel and they had prosthetics they made and then they covered them up with terrible CG that looked way worse when, like, the thing that people know about The Thing is the fucking crazy practical effects that movie has. I think that's a big part of the charm with the trauma films. Also, I'm 99% sure that's not Kevin Bacon at the end in the monster makeup, because I just feel like, yeah, Kevin Bacon's not sitting for that for a fucking Toxic Avenger movie for...
Yeah.
I didn't look it up, but I would be almost guaranteed he did not play that monster at the end of the movie. However, I did like a lot of the other things. I liked him pissing on himself. I really liked the way that they did show that design. That's obviously a pretty high value thing. I don't know. Style overall, it seems so fake and polished. I think I'm also going to stay a 2 for style.
It was a different person who played Monster Garbinger, as it's credited, and that was Spencer Wilding.
Ah.
Who has one gnarly unibrow.
So, Ryan, nice. Balance this out.
Okay. Well, I actually don't know who I agree with more. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to balance out completely. I agree with Sean about the music. I think the music was really forgettable, and they could have done something here. They could have done anything interesting. And they didn't.
Anything.
They didn't.
Especially with the new metal band.
Yeah. Yeah, they really could have worked in something interesting. There are so many ways you could have gone. You could have gone with, like, something, like, in-universe, like, those bands actually singing the songs and performing and, like, doing stuff, and that becomes, like, the diegetic soundtrack at a certain point or something. Like, there are so many ways you could play with it, and they did nothing with the music. I also agree with Kyle about, like, the look of certain things. I personally don't care about, like, the different performers coming in. Like, that's just, like, fucking movies. Like, that's movie magic, baby. That happens in, like, every fucking stunt movie. If we're gonna call out fucking when performers hop in and out, then Arnold Schwarzenegger movies are in trouble in action movie December. So, like, I honestly, I don't care about that. But what somebody said, this is, I think it was Kyle who said this is a trauma turd polished to a T. I kind of disagree. I think this is a major, not a major, but I will say maybe a step back from trauma. As somebody who doesn't even really like trauma, it's got a style and an aesthetic. Yes. I don't think this does. It feels too clean. And I think a good example is yeah, I'm picking that up. I'm picking it up and running with
it's like
it.
It's like very
you're right.
It's like made for TV movie trauma. Like that's what it's like that style polished.
Yeah, and I'm not saying things look bad necessarily, but like Peter Dinklage's character is absolutely a good example of this. Whereas like that original Toxie had I heard another critic say a wax figure of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, but, like, badly melted in a microwave. That's what the original Toxie, because, like, the eye is, like, halfway down his fucking cheek, and he's, like, got this weird droopy fucking face. It's so gross, and it just makes you uncomfortable to look at. Whereas this one feels like it's been focus-tested by audiences to be, like, it's just displeasing enough. Yeah, it feels almost like the Toxic Crusaders or something, like that cartoon that came out after the Toxic, where, like, they've sanitized things just a bit more. And it, like, looks almost cutesy, like, almost like it could be baby fucking Yoda. But, like, furthermore, going to style, I don't know if this is where, like, the action stuff belongs, and this is kind of where I thought it would be hurt in Action Movie December, is I don't necessarily think the action's done well here. I think it looks very fake and bad early days of CG, like, not having budget CG. It's way too digital, and that's a bummer because, like, again, I am not a super fan of trauma, But I do respect those early trauma films, all of the practical and all of like the makeup effects. And like sometimes it looks hokey, but like give me that versus like knocking off somebody's face and then like red blood, like super bright red fake digital blood squirting out. Like I don't know. That takes me out of it. Like it's sad to say, but like it's like it's so nitpicky. It's so nitpicky, but like it looks like just basic After Effects, like brush effects with like the blood shit they do in here. It's all this to say, I think I'm with Kyle. I think I'm a 2. I don't love the style, but it's not horrible.
Yeah.
It's just like I wish there was just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I understand maybe the budget. Maybe I don't, because we don't know what the budget is. Who knows?
Who knows? It's a budget issue.
The budget's it's a mystery, right? And you know, it's not horrible. But it's not affordable, you know what I'm saying? Not affordable. Oh, that was terrible.
That was too cute, Sean.
We didn't touch. Well, at the end, I'll bring this back.
We didn't what? We didn't what?
I'll bring it back up at the end. Put a pin in it, as they say.
Nobody will remember. Bring it up now.
That's true. That's right. He is right.
Are there any other? I mean, all right, we talked about the characters. There is a sort of stacked cast. You have Peter Dinklage, you have Elijah Wood, you have Kevin Bacon. Are there any other people you would have liked to have seen?
They got Lloyd Kaufman in here for the cameo, which was nice, right next to Macon Blair, the director, who he was talking to, who was like the official pass-off. That was a nice touch. I would have liked... maybe it's not even a trauma thing, and I don't even know if he's alive. I can't think of his name, but the guy from Reanimator. I want to say it's Bill something, but I fucking don't know.
It's not, and I'm terrible, because if you didn't ask, I would have known.
Hold on. I'll pull it up. So, I feel Sean, like this. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I feel like this is one of those, like, if there was anybody that I would love to see in this movie, it would have been literally nobody that I could think of in this moment. Because it is those random ass people like Annette Bening that's in this.
Yeah, Jeffrey
you know,
Combs.
And
I'm surprised. Oh, sorry.
I thought she was perfect as Daisy, who Spencer's trying to get out of town, and he's like threatening her, and it's like, you know, it felt very, very Gremlins. Like, I'm gonna buy your old shop, old man. You know, kind of thing.
I'm
and
just
she was so perfect in this role. And I feel like anybody else that I would love in this movie is someone that I wouldn't think of right now. And I know they're out there, that it's just like the most random person that I would see and be like, wow, goddamn, okay, solid casting there.
Kyle?
I was just going to say, I feel bad because you guys thought into this and didn't realize this is just a bit for me to say, I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I fucking hate you.
One, I would absolutely
I would love Jeff Goldblum in this, by the way. He would fucking rule.
I think he'd cameos. And going back to the characters and like the way like I was like Dinklage is he's really good at acting. He's way too earnest here. Somebody like Bruce Campbell. You need that energy. And so like immediately I think Bruce Campbell be fun cameo. Doesn't have to be much. Just have him fucking pop up. That's it.
It would be great.
I'd be a
hot dog
vendor. Who cares? That's great.
I was really shocked they didn't get the guy that played the original Toxie in this as a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised there weren't more trauma cameos.
Mm-hmm.
If there were, I missed them.
If there were, I missed them too. I didn't see. The only one I picked up was, of course, Mr. Lloyd.
And Jane Levy from the Evil Dead remake. And Don't Breathe? Is that the one with the...
The
blind man
guy?
Who has
the blind man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Incredibly offensive, though. What else is there?
Before we move on, does anybody want to reconsider and give Peter Dinklage's amazing handlebar mustache some style points? Anybody? he gives off the vibes of Hal from Happy Gilmore.
No, because again, I would almost take more away because he's. Toxie's
he
supposed
just looks
to be a
like...
loser dork, and he's almost too cool.
Yeah, so. He's so good looking. He's a good looking dude. Yeah. And that he handlebar is, mustache
he's so
only
skeezy
fucking
with that.
Nah, I don't see skeezy.
So skeezy.
He makes it look good.
I
he
don't see skeezy.
I totally
agree
still
to disagree. Him. I would give him the style point, but I'm not going to.
Savage. Savage. Fair, but savage. Direction. Kyle, no, Ryan just, I think, just mentioned Macon Blair.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with any of the other four things that he has done?
Only one. I have seen I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Another great Elijah Wood movie with another actress. I can't think of her name right now, but she's from so many things. But anyway.
Melanie Linsky.
That's her.
In the Yellow Jackets, I think.
That's it. That's it. And I couldn't think of the plane crash show. That's it.
The plane crash show.
That's not lost.
The plane
but
crash show.
I loved it. I loved I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. I thought it was a really cool little indie movie. Very low budget, but like did so great with the characters. Amazing character work. And then takes like a really dark Coen Brothers turn at the end. That's like really fun and thrilling. It's a very neat, tight little like 90-minute straight to Netflix movie that nobody saw except for me, and I championed it and was waiting for Macon Blair to do more stuff, and he really didn't do too much. So honestly, this was one of the big draws going into Toxic Avenger for me, was seeing what he would do with this. And I think he was a little bit out of his depths. I don't think he was quite ready for this big of a movie. I think he works better on a smaller scale. I've had this same thought with a few other really good directors too. I think Robert Rodriguez can also easily step outside of his scale quite often and works better in a small scale.
He wants to be Tarantino, but he's not Tarantino.
No.
He's a good buddy. You're not him, brother.
He's got his own strengths. They're just on the smaller scale. And I guess, I don't know, I guess some kids like his Shark Boy and Spy Kid stuff. I don't know. None of that worked for me. It's not my shit, but whatever. I don't know. I think, and then, and here's where I'm going first is maybe doing a disservice to this category, because I don't know any of the background stuff. The production issues and all this stuff, this could have a direct reflection on him as a director. Again, being maybe out of his leagues and just like handling the big responsibilities of a kind of, I guess, higher budget movie, the higher than what he's been, maybe not like a big, big budget movie. And so maybe that speaks to his abilities here too. I'm so hopeful for more stuff from him. Though I wouldn't say like this is like his strongest outing of the two movies I've seen, and kind of makes me a little questionable now. I don't know. I'm still not negative on it because he pulled it together. And as Kyle and I have pointed out many times, this is safe, sanitized, and very accessible and kind of like PG-13-ified. But like that works, and that might get people in, and there's a story here. It's coherent. It works. It follows a formula, maybe to a T, but it follows a formula and it's successful. And like for that alone, I think it gets a 3 from me for direction. I think he still has a very far, far, far way to go. And if he were to do this again with another movie, if he were to do Toxic Avenger 2 or some other kind of like bigger budget movie, and this was the result, I think I would be much less generous on it come around. But I think I am being a bit more generous because this is his kind of first bigger movie. So I hope that clarifies things as thick as mud. Kyle.
Yeah. strangely enough, I did not like him at the reins of Toxic Avenger 1. But I would like to see him take another shot at it. I think he kind of almost gets there.
Mm.
To be honest, like, but that's a roundabout. Well, I'm less generous than you, Ryan. I'm at a 2 for him on this because I feel so much of, like I said, it's almost there on almost every aspect. And I think maybe with a second go round, he could kind of maybe get it and maybe understand like the bigger scope, because I do agree with you, he does seem out of his element. So much of it seems just, like I said, just somebody that is trying and is earnest and understands, but like, it's just missing that magic that like, it either needs to be a little shittier to like pop, or it needs to be just that extra step up. And it's in that, just that gray zone that makes it, it's just, So I'm at a 2 for direction on it, and I kick it to Sean.
All right. Man, I don't think that he can really be held responsible for this movie sitting in limbo for 2 years, as it was literally the distributors that were just deeming it too risky and too, I mean, it's a fucking trauma. It's like right off the bat, a toxic Avenger, like who are you marketing that for outside of people that have some nostalgia for that? Like, somebody who, some 18, 19, 20 year old right now isn't going to be like, oh, Toxic Avenger, I can't wait to go fucking see that. So it's like already off the bat, in terms of market, the market that's going to go and see it, huge risk. You know, it just reeks of anarchy and against the system and all of that. And like, I don't see it with the gore and whatnot. Like, there's way worse stuff that comes out every year. And maybe it's because it's playing with it, like it's a thick jello or something. I don't know. And making light of everything. Who fucking knows? If anything, if he refused to really change much up about it and stick to what he had as a vision for what was going on, if that had anything to do with it, I think actually points kind of go towards him for standing his ground. I agree with both of you, though. I'm going to be a little bit more generous than Kyle. I am going to stick with a 3. I don't think really goes much above that. But I like what he did here. I think it could use a whole lot more work in some direction, like Kyle was saying. It needs a whole lot more work, but it does have, if there's a Toxic Avenger 2, which, Lord, let's be honest, it's not, unless it's going straight to DVD
GoFundMe,
or whatever it is, streaming or whatever. It's not happening. But if it were, I'd be hype and I would watch it because I enjoyed what he put out here, which, so I'm giving this a 3, and that brings us into entertainment value. And I'm going straight 5 here. I enjoy the hell out of this movie. I am so glad that I saw this in theaters. This is, and that's for me, like a big thing when it comes down to entertainment value, is those times that I think to myself, man, I wish that I caught that in theaters. Or, man, I'm so glad I got to see that in theaters. And this is one of those times where I am so glad I got to see that in theaters. Because I had a hell of a time when we saw that, just sitting in those mad uncomfortable seats, laughing at the most childish shit in a theater 3/4 full with other weird people watching this and giggling at wildly inappropriate things. It was, I don't know, there's a guilty pleasure in watching this, and I wish I got to pay a little bit more attention to it today while watching it again, but life happens. This is a straight 5 for me. I really enjoyed this movie, and I'll send it to Kyle.
I'm Jeff Goldblum.
I wasn't going there, honestly. That's been a transition.
I don't take offense to people not liking a movie.
No, it's not that I don't like it. I'm just trying to think like where I'm going to end up, because I think I would almost be at a 3, but I think this movie, and I don't always penalize for it, but I am going to do it to this one a bit. It is about 15 to 20 minutes too long. It does start to overstay the welcome a bit. I think it's trying to, again, floop up and fancify. It's a fucking Toxic Avenger movie. Like, I kind of like the humanization, but I mean, I don't need him to have brain cancer to like I guess it kind of works as explaining like he's fully healed, but also I kind of figured that out when he was healing from bullets and all of that stuff. So like, again, I'm going to say I'm really at a 2 on this a lot, which feels weird for me. I did like it. It has some funny bits, but again, they're too far and few between. It's hard to say. It's not nearly as offensive as enough as it should be. And it's just a bit too long. So again, another 2 entertainment value. I did laugh a couple times. I really did like when I had to piss on my own face. gave me a lot of chuckles. But other than that, yeah, 2. Ryan?
I am so surprised by the reactions tonight, because I really expected, Kyle, for you to come in like really being into this, because I knew you were super into Troma. And I thought this was pretty, like, if you're doing Troma and you're trying to do it to open up the audience, this is how you do it. It's the spirits there.
Yes.
It's just not enough. As we pointed out, I'm not going to belabor that point. I am just kind of surprised, like, you're more on the negative side tonight by this. I am more positive than you. And this is, again, the benefit of 2 watchings. The first time, I think I probably would have been closer to your camp. And I think on Letterboxd, I think I gave it a 2.5, like, straight down the middle, because I was so of mixed opinions of many things. I thought a lot of it looked a little cheapy. Some of the dialogue I thought was really obvious. I was ahead of a lot of the turns most of the time, and that's never good for like the momentum of any movie. If a movie is 60 minutes versus 3 hours, it doesn't matter if I'm not ahead of the movie and knowing exactly what the turns are going to be and like where this is all heading. That helps. And it also helps, like, as Sean said, like, he got to see this in a theater that was 3/4 full. So like a pretty good crowd, like cheering and laughing. Probably, and like that helps. That absolutely helps the mood. Whereas like I watched this alone on Hulu at home because Laura said that looks stupid as fuck in past. so that sets That's a different fair. Mood. And I think I would have been at a 2 the first time around as well. I think, as I said before, the second time softened me up, and I think I'm going to go to a 3. I did enjoy it more the second time around. I really kind of locked into a lot of, like, the things they were pulling from the first one again. And again, just, it's all, whereas Kyle says, meh, I go, it's fine. And I think that's more positive. I think we're kind of, like, really similar, but like I'm just a slightly more positive. But I agree with him too. Like I do wish it just really went for it in any way. Just like be a little bit offensive or bold or daring. Like take a chance. Just take one chance. And this movie takes no chances. And that kind of kills some of the entertainment value for me when I'm coming to like a trauma movie or this type of movie. Like I want to see either like something really shocking violence-wise, some like really cool fucking effects. The digital stuff doesn't work for me. So that's not there. There's nothing really shocking violent-wise. And then like, I guess there are people, it's not me, who just come for like tits and ass and like all the titillation that Troma does. And that's not here either. So like, this movie feels kind of, I don't know who it's for. It's for Sean. And it's for many people in his theater, and a lot of people I've seen really like this movie. I wish it clicked more with me, but I don't know. I'm so positive on it, so I'm rambling. I'm gonna be 3. It's fine. It's fine. It's not bad. It's fine. It's fine.
To be fair, I think my theater made up the entire worldwide gross of this movie. So
I understand. I sound like I'm coming down harder on it than I also do intend to. I did have a really good time watching it. I'm also factoring, I don't see myself in a rush to watch it again. So
If you had a good time and you were entertained, mm-hmm. why is entertainment value so low?
This is true, Kyle.
Because I don't think
you're comparing
it. Very low, and I felt justified. I felt it was a little too long, didn't go far enough offensive wise, and the jokes were not as quick as I felt they could have been. And that's probably in the length too. Like, that's why it feels a little. There was one point, again, it was another one of those, like, I had to go pee and I came back, and when I hit play, there were still 40 minutes left, and I was like, how?
That's because 25 minutes of that is credits and the 4 minute long making a grilled cheese post credit scene.
Sure, dude, that is awesome.
I noticed
at the end full prosthetic, dude. He makes a grilled cheese and it narrates it. Peter Dinklage does.
Yeah, the credits are like 12 minutes long.
It was pretty great.
I sat in theaters for 12 minutes through those credits to watch him make a grilled cheese.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay.
Narrates it the whole... It's pretty good method.
It feels fantastic. Like Justified in the 3 now, and Kyle should bump up to a 3 as well.
I'll go 3. I'll go 3. I did enjoy the grilled cheese segment, and I was going to try out his recommendation. So.
I feel like you saw the 40 minutes left and it went in your head that the movie's too long. Because, dude, I had the same thing when I paused it at one point for something. I'm like, how is there still 25 minutes left in this movie? Because I also knew where we were at the movie. And then it ended like 10 minutes later. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes more sense.
Those credits will throw you off, man.
Anyways, boys, that will give us a total of 60 out of 100 for this movie, which I have, since we don't have Ryan and we don't have his fancy dancy little cheat sheet here, I went out of my way, clickety clacking through the web pages, and found out that Metacritic has a score of 65.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes, actually, I'll save that for last. Letterboxd has a 3.
Okay.
IMDb is a 5.9. Ooh. And Rotten Tomatoes, for some ungodly reason, is sitting at a critical score of 86 and a audience score of 81.
What? That's so fucking high.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
Not even... Like, because, like, whatever, it's higher than we've been rating it. But, like, the other ones were, like, essentially, like, 5.9 is almost a 3, which is what Letterboxd was. It's all consistent, and then Rotten Tomatoes is all of a sudden way up.
It's certified fresh, yeah.
Wow.
I think it should be certified fresh regardless, but, like, the jump up into, like, the mid-80s, that's high out of nowhere. What are these Especially Rotten Tomato users? Who are they?
What are these Rotten Tomato critics?
Our system always works, and usually sometimes is in, like, the average of everything, too. It, like, really nicely lines up. And this one, man, well, we are straight line. We are right on par with literally everything. And then Rotten Tomatoes is like, yo.
That's
I got
crazy.
A green boner for this.
That immediately makes me think, bullshit, rigged. They paid for them. They paid for those percentages.
It wasn't Troma that paid for that because they didn't have money to pay for that shit.
That's where that $200 million budget went to that they are discussing.
Yeah, right?
What's the original Toxic Avenger have?
On what?
Oh, yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
If this is like an 84 or 81.
Let's see that, and I guess...
Because I know it's like an 83 on IMDb. I'm sorry, a 6.3. It's still a couple points higher than this one. I was surprised that it was higher than this. The original Toxic Avenger on Rotten Tomatoes is a 73 critic and a 64 audience.
See, that's crazy. About
more what I would expect this one to be. Although the critic is still higher.
Yeah. It's very surprising to see where the critics land on these.
That's crazy on this one.
Honestly, very shocked. But this movie only made... You guys want to take a guess at the worldwide gross? It wasn't
Sure. Let's do 3.5 million.
Okay. 3.5 million? I was going with... 865,000.
Oh, I think it made
Ryan is almost spot on with 3.48 million.
Holy shit. Mm.
You're out. Yeah, Price you're only right off rules, by 18,000.
You're out.
Ah, damn it.
$1 Bob, eat a dick. Shit, boys. I don't know. I had fun no matter what. It was fun to watch this again for me. It was fun to chat about this with you guys. It's a fucking ridiculous movie. And we did have a really weird week in that I'm sure all of you listeners know and noticed we missed last week with Brian being out. Kyle had some crazy life stuff going on last week. Mm-hmm. So we shuffled things around. I went now, and I think Kyle, we're going to be wrapping back around week next week. So what are we going to be talking about? Because I think we discussed that actually on Patreon last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you didn't listen, it's be Moonrise Kingdom.
Ooh. Wes Anderson.
Another Wes Anderson.
Brian's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually really curious to see what his thoughts are. And that's why I posed me doing this and us still getting this in. Because one, I watched a movie and I'm not going to watch a movie if I don't get a chance to talk about it. That's a fucking waste of my time. And two, I need to hear Brian's reaction.
When I asked, I thought Brian was back for some reason because he's back in the States, right?
I think he's back in the States, but he's not available tonight.
Yeah. Okay. See, and I just didn't know that much. So.
The cruise is just done, and now their trip
still goes. Okay.
Yeah. Just not that trip, you know? You know? Anyways, folks, if you want to hear more about Jeff Goldblum, Kyle's wildly depressing math skills, and whatever the fuck else that we talked about, Woody Allen, of course.
Mostly.
Squatty Potty.
Aaliyah.
Squatty Potty.
I think. Yeah. The Squatty Potty. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff on this week's Patreon. It's a fucking doozy. It feels like a Troma-trion.
Mm-hmm.
A Patromion.
Troma-trion.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in that, head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind, which you can also find a link for in our linktree/experiencegrind. Go there. Go to the Discord that's in there. Ryan, tell the folks what you've been doing in Discord, because this is quite literally my most favorite thing in the entire world right now.
I am so happy people enjoy it. I just created a little game called Mystery Box Melee, where there's a mystery clue placed down, and every day you have a chance to guess it once what the mystery item is. And every day there's a new clue at a certain time, and you get a new guess, and that's it. And you're just racing against everybody else and the clock, I guess. Because as the clues go on, they kind of really narrow it down quite a bit.
Can you give an example of one?
The first one that we've done. I guess, just in case you're listening to this, you've not heard it. There's a mystery clue who was a celebrity who was... All right, so the clue is celebrity. The next clue would be blues guitar. The next clue would be professional ballet dancers. The next clue, I think, would have been Russian immigrant.
It was figure skaters.
Figure skaters. You know it, Sean. All right. Not Sean, ballet. You know these better, because I think you like really latch on to these clues. You maybe pay attention to the clues more than I do when I'm making them.
I'm obsessed. And that was, Anton Yelchin?
But it was Anton Yelchin, yeah. I think I also put 27 out at the beginning, too, to latch into the 27 club. But it's that. So every
Your
time
first
it's
clue
some
was
kind of pop
actually a two-piece.
Thing.
It was Celebrity 27.
And I moved away from that because it narrows it in real quick.
It really does. But, man, it is so much fun, especially for all of... my fellow ADHD or ADDHZYXers out
there.
You
say that, but I'm the opposite. I put in my guess, and then when it's wrong, I don't think about it again. And then the next
I don't
morning,
know
I'm
how
like,
you don't hyperfixate on this, dude. I'm like, I'm
I don't,
fucking
I don't know.
Obsessed.
It's weird, but yeah, I'm the exact opposite with you on the game. I do my guess, and then it's gone. It's wind.
I realized last night when I sent you my whole spiel. After you sent me one thing and then I bombarded you.
That was funny as hell. I was like, hey, man, that was a good guess. We went down the kind of the same path there. And you're like, yeah, and then this, and then this. And then I was like, but what if you did this?
Yeah. And you're just like fucking feeding that. I went back to look at what I had sent Ryan. I was like, holy fuck, what is wrong with me? There was like 15 minutes in timestamps between messages. I was like, this poor motherfucker's going to come back and be like, what is wrong with you? Anyways, listeners, that is nothing. Me tap dancing around saying, fucking join the fucking Discord. Come have fun. Join this game. Talk about shit. I think we're talking about like Slay the Spire right now. It's wild in there. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. So we'll see you there. And Kyle, Mr. Troma, man, can you do a Troma outro here?
No.
A Troma outro?
I mean, I could, but I would lose my job. But yeah, I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Get my dick out.
Oh, that's a good one. I am just gonna get my dick out. Because I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Great, now Jeff Goldblum's on a list.
Go bloom yourself.
Ah! That's it!